It's almost universal, whether it's two wheels, four wheels, 18 wheels, no wheels. So many of us have a special memory involving a vehicle or a story about a car we've loved. Even if you can't tell a crankshaft from a driveshaft, I want to hear the story of the vehicle that moved you. I'm Blake Jackson, and this is Autobiography. Our guest today is the much-esteemed, much-loved man full of encouragement. If you're working out in central Alberta, chances are you've been inspired by our guest on Autobiography today, owner of 360 Fitness, Jack Wheeler. Tell us about the vehicle that moved you.
For me, guys, it's always been my motorcycles. Always. It's my first vehicle. I've had one in some shape, form, capacity, always something on two wheels for about, 20 years now. And it's something like I can't get rid of. It's a terrible, bad habit that I absolutely love having.
Take us to the start of this obsession of yours. What was the first motorcycle you owned?
I had a 1993 Kawasaki Ninja 250, like bright green. It was like a Ninja Turtle on wheels. It was awesome.
Going to pause for a moment and tell you about the Kawasaki Ninja 250. Part of the Ninja Sport Bike series introduced in 1986, the 250 was the entry-level model for people that wanted to go real fast. Unlike the one-cylinder version released in 2014, the bike in question tonight boasted a liquid-cooled dual overhead cam, four-valve, for each of the two cylinders, 248cc power plant with a red line of 14,000 and a top speed of 170 kilometers per hour.
It was my first vehicle. So I got my license and 16 years old, you know, gas money was everything, you know, so it was like $3 to fill a tank back then. Yeah. And that's all it was at first. It wasn't because, you know, I liked motorcycles to start or anything else. It was cheap to buy. I could store it in our garden shed because we didn't have a garage, and it was cheap to fill. So it started just for like broke little high school student, and just a bad habit ever since that I can't shake.
Being an Alberta boy, what was the motorcycle season like for you? Did you push it quite hard?
Yeah, it was Remembrance Day. That's kind of the weekend that I put it away all the time. It was good. And then it being in Drumheller, and I had it there, and I had it out in the Maritimes too, because I finished up high school out there. So the seasons were a little bit different, but if I can get it to November 11th, that weekend, it was a good season.
I think the latest that I was able to make it with my bike was November 1st. So you're a trooper for
sure.
Okay,
so right around the same boat. Yeah. But I was younger and dumber, so I could push it a little bit further. But now you got first world problems and you put it away at plus 20.
Oh, I'm still plenty dumb. It's just, you're tougher than me.
Yeah. And it's different when it's your only vehicle, right?
Yeah.
When you have a choice where it's kind of a hobby thing now, you can get the choice and go to the warm seats.
Yeah.
But you know, in high school, it's like, well, you got to make it to school. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Get going. Yep.
How many bikes in total have you owned over the years?
Oh God. I'm probably on 10 now. I think I'm right around 10.
What's the favorite bike?
The favorite bike was the scariest bike, of course. It was the R1, the Yamaha 1000. That was the first, I have to get rid of this bike or I won't be here. And I was riding from Moncton, New Brunswick to Halifax, Nova Scotia. And along that highway, you're kind of crossing an isthmus. So you got water on both sides. I think it's below sea level. It's windy. It's rainy. You know, it's like riding on the seashore, more or less.
Yeah.
And I remember going, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and the Maritimes weather changes just like Alberta. You know, 5 minutes later, it was sleet, and the rain was just going horizontal. And I remember a big truck passed me, and I got kind of sucked into the trailers, like in between their wheel wells. I got kind of like sucked in like a little vacuum. And I remember almost touching the side of the trailer with my hand. And you just felt it. Like the wheels were to the left, your body was to the right. You looked down and all you could see was pavement because you're on such a big angle. And just like that feeling of, oh God, here it is.
Yeah.
Like you're getting choked up just thinking about it right now. Like, whoa, that was the time. Just because it was a big bike and I couldn't pull it back over. That was one time. And it didn't have to do with the 1000. That was just the The time I was like, all right, this is silly. But then the other time I got like tunnel vision in like fourth gear out of six, because an R1 is ridiculous. So I remember just tapping just below 280. And I was like, nope.
Would you ever get a sidecar on your bike?
Yes, I absolutely would.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of getting old man styles. I'm looking, I've always had sport bikes, but now I'm kind of getting into the cafe cruisers of the early 90s.
Okay.
You know, I really like that look. So I think, you know, if things kind of settle down, I think I'd like to kind of get a little secondary bike like that, like a old Shadow or a Vulcan or something even older, something like that. Early 90s, little cafe guys, and get a sidecar for my wiener dog. Be great.
You can have many bikes.
Yes. Yeah. And I like it. They all have different little personalities.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it and it just feels different. They all ride different. You know, you got the same mechanics, but when you ride different bikes, it's just something so, so different about them. It's so much fun. You know, with a car, I can hop in my vehicle, I can buy a new one. The next day I'm bored. You know, it's the same, right? There's 99.9% the same, just a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But for a motorcycle, for me, I can hop on a different one and it's just an entirely different feel, an entirely different ride.
Yeah.
And it's just so much fun.
I noticed when I was riding that it wasn't a commute anymore, back and forth to work. It was something I looked forward to.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so crazy because you're so focused. You're so focused. There's no distractions, but I don't know. You're just in tune with everything.
Yeah.
It's just something different. You know, there's no big switches. There's no phones going off. There's none of that stuff. You're just so involved in it. You're so immersed in it. It's amazing. I love it. You can't replace it. So you're right about the commute, like anywhere. I'll take the bike to the store that's around the block. It's just so fun.
Yeah. They say that four wheels can free the body, but two wheels can free the soul.
Yeah. Well, whoever that person is, get him a medal. That's right.
All right. I take credit for it then.
Oh, good. Good. We'll put that up on the sign outside the house.
Well, Jack Wheeler, thanks so much for joining us on Autobiography today. And wish you the best. Wish you safety on your bike.
Yeah, that's right. My wife appreciates that. Thank you.
And when you get your sidecar, come and pick me up, okay?
Okay. Wonderful.
All right. Thanks,
you're
Jack.
You're the first. Your first guest on the sidecar.
Mr. Jack Wheeler, the owner and operator and personal fitness god of Fitness 360 here in Red Deer, Alberta, talking about his passion for all things with two wheels and possibly in the future, three wheels if he does end up picking up that sidecar. Thanks for tuning in to Autobiography. Time for another Myth of the Machine. This guest on Autobiography, an old buddy, broadcaster and one of the only train enthusiasts I've ever met, and I'm inspired by his dedication to those locomotives, Mr. Paul O'Neill.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Blake. Thanks to everybody. And let me tell you, I can tell you that there's at least two or three of us. We call ourselves rail fan foamers out there in the world. We're the guys that look at the trains and take pictures and you wonder why they're so fascinated. Well, that's us.
Tonight on Autobiography, curious about the vehicle that moved you.
For me, it was my 1990 Pontiac Sunbird SE.
Going to pause for a moment and tell you about the Pontiac Sunbird. Starting in 1976, Pontiac engineered the Sunbird as their version of the Chevy Monza, with the second generation of the car starting in 1982 and running to 1994, when it was replaced by the Sunfire. Powering tonight's car was the 2-liter inline four, cranking out 96 horsepower.
This car I bought from my dad secondhand. For 1990, it was a pretty sweet automobile. I got my hands on this car in 1992, so it was 2 years old. It had a 5-speed transmission. It had a sunroof. It had, you remember those really annoying half headlights that, you know, the covers covered half the headlight and then they get stuck? The Grand Prix had them of that era?
Yeah.
Well, so did the Pontiac Sunbirds for a couple of years, and then they were, you know, they get stuck. So they took them off, but it had this feature, and this car was cool. It was probably the nicest car I had ever owned. Because A, it was a 5-speed, which I love, and B, it had cruise control, and that was hard to find as an option on sort of base model cars back then. But this car and I, we stayed together from 1992 to 1999. And some of the memories I've got in this car are, of course, the road trips that I've taken. This car, which is a small J-Class Pontiac car, is not meant for off-roading, but when you're in pursuit of a train, those kind of rules of what's a road and what's not a road don't really matter per se. You kind of make your own road. And I do recall getting my car stuck in the mud at Hatton, Saskatchewan, just north of Golden Prairie. And I was trying to pace the grain train that went up there from just north of Maple Creek to get some shots, to get some pics. And it was early May of 1993. It was muddy. And I decided, oh, yeah, that's a road. I can make it. And I got stuck up to the doors in the mud.
And how far did you have to walk to get help?
A mile and a half. There was a guy that was seating nearby. And I waved him down. He looked at me and said, effin' city kid, I betcha. And at the time, I was living in Medicine Hat, working at 1270 Chat. So he came, you know, unhooked his gear from his equipment and came and pulled me out. And I drove it to work that night. And I remember the girls at Chat TV and the news department, they're like, where the hell were you driving your car? And I said, oh, he's just pacing trains out by Hatton. So that's one of the memories that happened in that car. That car also actually was involved in a police sting a few years later.
Do tell.
When I was living in Red Deer again, because I've done 3 tours of duty in Red Deer to work in radio.
Yeah.
Tour of duty number 2, I lived off 55th Street and the apartment row there. Okay. And I had this sketchy roommate. Can't use his name because he's in jail. but what I used to do the overnights on the radio station on CKRD, and I'd get home at 6 a.m. I'd crash, whatever. I'd wake up in the morning or in the afternoon at 2 o'clock and check my messages. For a couple of weeks in a row, my friends were telling me that, we think we've seen your car out in the daytime. Are you driving around at like 9 and 10 in the morning? I'm like, no, not at all. Well, it was right around that time that I got pulled over by the K division of the RCMP at Gasoline Alley. I was going out to Glenn's restaurant to grab a coffee with some girl. That didn't work out. Yeah. But I got pulled over, and they walked up and checked my ID and said, no, you're fine. A friend of mine, his dad was the staff sergeant for the RCMP K division. He told me to come over for dinner at his place over in Rosedale a couple of nights later. So I did. And he said, hey, I'm here to tell you that your roommate, who is selling drugs, the illicit kind at the time, they're all illicit, is using your car to transport these drugs. And that's why you're getting pulled over. And we recommend you don't go home tonight because we're going to do a raid on your place. You're not supposed to know this.
Oh, so did you go home that night?
I didn't. I stayed away. But what I had found is that my car, which, you know, somebody called Dave, my car had a name. I didn't give it a name, but it was called Dave.
Yeah.
Dave was involved in the transportation of illicit substances between Red Deer and Penhold. Never did see him again. But, you know, after a while, I stopped getting pulled over.
Oh.
And then I went and got a new plate just to make things a little easier for me. So that helped.
Yeah.
But yeah, my car was part of a drug run without me knowing.
How much longer did you keep Dave?
It was November of 1999. I said goodbye to Dave. He had 475,000 kilometers on him. And I sold the car for $2,200. I couldn't believe it. The car, you know, had new alternator. I mean, half of Dave was new. It was like plastic surgery.
Yeah.
But I was impressed that I put the car I guess we didn't have Kijiji back then, Auto Trader, and somebody bought it for that, for $2,200.
Was that your favorite car then?
Absolutely. Like, I've had other cars. I've had Sunfires. I've had Toyota Corollas. I did one terrible year in a Mitsubishi Mirage. And but that car to this day is my favorite car. And I have such good memories of that car. It took me on road trips up the Yin Yang. It went to Spokane. It went to Moose Jaw to meet some girl. And again, that didn't work out. But the car was a great friend of mine.
And part of radio, part of this life in radio and broadcasting is moving around, going to, like the WKRP song, town to town, up and down the dial.
Absolutely. That car moved with me so many places.
How many different markets do you think that car was able to move you to?
Okay, well, we'll count Red Deer, Medicine Hat, a little bit of time in Stettler, Calgary, when I was at Country 105. So it moved around a lot. Went with me a lot of places. So yeah, it was a good friend, great companion. Let me tell you, when the alternator quit once on Highway 2 by Olds, and I had to kind of, you know, push it in neutral a mile to get to a farmer's field to get to a phone, that wasn't so fun. But other than that, me and Dave have great memories.
Yeah. What is the best memory with that car?
Oh God, the best one. I've been telling you about the horror stories. Honestly, I think the best memory of that car was this 1997 trip I did with my girlfriend at the time. I couldn't get time off because it's radio and I was low man on the totem pole. So we decided when I got off the air at 6 one morning, let's just get in the car and start driving to Coeur d'Alene. We can be there later tonight. We'll hang out there and then we'll drive back just in time for me to get back to work the next night. And we literally drove throughout the day to get to Coeur d'Alene. We got there, it was like 85 degrees. We sat at the beach and we're like, well, it's time to go back. And but that trip was amazing. Yeah. It was just a fun trip because it was, you know, the car was great in the road and the sunroof, you know, came out and it was nice to have the hot weather as you're driving through Montana and Idaho. It was great.
Let's talk about trains for a moment. Is there something you're always looking out for?
Honestly, what we're looking for is something that isn't supposed to be there. Maybe it's a locomotive from a railroad across the country that, you know, now and again, you'll see a Kansas City Southern of Mexico locomotive up in Canada, and we'll get wind that it's up here. So you want to find that. You want to catch it in good light. You want to get it in a scenic location. You don't want to just go to the yard and snap a picture because, you know, that's lame. You know, it's all about the staging. It's about the chase to get there. So we look for stuff like that. We look for unusual things. And that's kind of the holy grail. And that's the stuff we share on our, you know, 5 million different social media pages dedicated to the hobby. And that's where the bragging rights comes from. So really it's that, you know, and for me, It's rare equipment. It's locomotives and cars that maybe are going out of service and they're heading to the scrapyard. And, you know, this is probably their last month on rails. So you want to catch it before, you know, it goes to the locomotive graveyard and gets cut up.
What's the best find or what's the best photograph you've ever gotten?
Oh, man. I'll tell you this. I think this... I'm a little biased because yesterday I was out with a group of rail fans from Calgary and we went out to Rockford Bridge, which is out by Mayerthorpe. And there's this huge wooden trestle, which is the longest wooden trestle in North America. It's off Highway 43. You can clearly see it if you're driving on Highway 43 between Onaway and White Court. It's just before Mayerthorpe. If you've ever gone that way, you can't miss it. Well, it's rare to see a train on it. And we went out there specifically to see a train on it. And these guys from Calgary had never seen that line in action. And it was one of those holy grail moments just to see that happen, because nothing's guaranteed. The railroad could shut that line down at any time, or, you know, as we've learned, these wooden trestles, they are easily, you know, arsoned out of existence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nothing's guaranteed. So getting that shot yesterday and kind of going through the wind and driving down the dirt roads that we were driving on was definitely part of the experience. And for me, that was probably the best one I've caught, you know, this year for sure.
You know what? That was a perfect answer. And this is the perfect The perfect vehicle for this podcast, Paul. So I thank you for that. We just want to hear about vehicles that mean a lot to people. And clearly that Sunbird meant a hell of a lot.
Absolutely, it did. Thanks very much, Blake, and thanks for having me on.
There's broadcaster, train spotter, and as he made very clear, not a drug runner, Paul O'Neill. Thank you, Paul, very much tonight for telling us about your Pontiac Sunbird. Meant a lot to you. And if you have a story about the vehicle that moved you, we'd love to hear from you. Autobiographypod@gmail.com. Until next time, keep your wheels on the road and a tarp on your load.